Let's all stand as we read the scriptures. We'll read two verses of scripture this morning. And welcome, if you're joining us on Facebook and the radio station, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's a tremendous joy to have you joining our worship service at Dixie Baptist Church. And if you have your Bibles and it's convenient, of course, if you're driving, that's another thing. I turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 and 19. Philippians chapter 4, verses 13 and 19. We're going to focus on two verses today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 tells us, I can do all things through Him, Christ, who strengthens me. Verse 19 tells us, and my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I pray that that is your theme as well. That my God shall supply all of my needs. And our gracious Heavenly Father, we come and that's our request this morning. That you instruct us, that you teach us how we can find that sense of fulfillment in doing the will of God and that great assurance that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because my God shall supply all of those needs. We thank you, Father. Speak to our hearts in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been examining a great biblical principle on how God is building His kingdom. We have come to the climax of this great letter that Paul has written to the Philippians. And the thing that keeps standing out in all of this letter is that God is always at work all about us, all the time. We see this in the Old Testament. We see it in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in the testimony of Paul, the church at Philippi. Indeed, that principle is still working out to this very day. God's at work. God's at work in your life, forming you and conforming you to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He has us ready, and only when He has us ready, He'll invite us to come and join Him in what He's doing. He begins by bringing us into a saving relationship with Him. He can't use us if we've never been born again. He cannot use us if we do not have this intimate love relationship. He comes into our lives and He transforms our lives. He comes in to dwell within us by means of the Holy Spirit. He gives us eternal life. He forgives us of our sins. He brings us to the point of repentance and faith and belief in Christ. And begins the work of sanctification, change. Those daily changes that come about as the Spirit of God works in our lives. He works for our good and for His glory. And the Holy Spirit works in your life, conforming you to Christ, equipping you so that you're able to accomplish the will of God. That you're able to accomplish those eternal things that God wants to do in your life. And when the Holy Spirit has you to the place He wants you in a loving relationship with you, God invites you to come and work with Him for His eternal glory. He can't invite you until He has you in a right relationship with Him. And then God invites you to come and work with Him on His mission. And when he invites us to join him, it's always a God-sized opportunity. It's beyond us. It's bigger than us. And we're forced to stand back and say, I can't do it. And he reminds us that he can. That's his work. And that's God at work in you. And when God invites us to join him, he shows us where he's at work. And he provides. He comes in. He equips us and makes it possible for us to accomplish what he is doing. Up until coronavirus started back in March, I was enjoying with a number of other people a course on perspectives of ministry. I thought it'd be fun to go back and to come to update on missiologists, one of my favorite subjects. And really, it was a course on history of missions and the application of missions in our day. We looked at those great missionary statesmen over the last 2,000 years, and especially since William Carey, the father of the modern missionary movement. As I read through the lives of these great statesmen, as I participated in the course, I sit in class one day and all of a sudden realized that, hey, every one of these statements, every one of these great men had applied exactly what you heard in the introduction to this message. Every one of them. That was the way God did it in their lives. He hasn't changed. It's still the way he does it. Paul tells us that God provides, sustains us in a work. Philippians 4:19 tells us Paul's testimony. Paul gives his testimony in Philippians 4:19 and says, "And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And when he does that, he gets all of the glory. Philippians chapter 4, verse 20 tells us, "Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." He supplies, and he supplies in a way that only he gets all the glory. I'm reminded again and again that when God calls, he equips and he provides. That's the way he's always done it. And that's the way he'll do it in your life. He calls you to minister to someone in this community or into this church. And when he calls, he equips you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And then he provides all that we need for that ministry. In Philippians, we go back to that basic question in Philippians. Where's God at work? We watched it from the first verse right down to the end of the letter. Where's God at work in Philippi? Where's God at work in the church at Philippi? Where is God at work in the life of the Apostle Paul? In prison, in Rome. And then, of course, the big question. Where is God at work in your life? Where's God at work in your life today? Have you been allowing the Holy Spirit to probe that question in your life this last week? What's he doing? What's God doing in your life? And it just may be the only thing God can possibly do is bring you to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you been born again? Has regeneration takes place? Has there been a change in your life in which Christ has come in and the Holy Spirit has turned your life upside down, and just like this song says, it's all about Jesus, folks. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, God can't invite you to come and join Him in what He's doing if you've never been born again. And that's where it all begins. And when you're right with Him, He'll put you right where He wants you to be. And He'll use you for His glory. So the question comes, am I available to God? Do I really want His will in my life? Will I trust Him for His provisions at whatever stage in my Christian life? Perhaps you've been praying for a lost person. Perhaps God has placed on your heart a friend of yours who's lost, who has no relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you made a commitment that you will pray for that person every day, no matter how long it takes, until they come to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior? And then one day, there's this clear sense that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. That the Holy Spirit is saying, now is the time to talk to this person about the relationship with Jesus Christ. It's as if the Holy Spirit is nudging and is saying, ask Him. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? And the question comes to our minds, am I available for Him to do just that? A blind Peace Corps volunteer came in my office one day. He was interviewing me for a magazine article he was writing for the Peace Corps group that he was working with. He, along with other Peace Corps guys and embassy people, were attending a course I was teaching on self-esteem. I was sharing my convictions that God blessed me as a whole person. I stressed the need for this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we were discussing it, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit pressed upon my heart, ask Him, will. And I ask, do you know who I'm talking about? He looked at me with the strangest look in his face and said, I don't have the faintest idea of what you're talking about, Will. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Duh. And so I turned to John 3:16. I walked down the Roman road, and this blind man put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. God used him to bring a number of Peace Corps volunteers to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. God used him to make those who were professing Christians but hidden away to come out in public and say, I too know Christ as my personal Savior. Does that scare you to death? The Holy Spirit comes along, speaks to you and reminds you of Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Christ in me can do it. And we stand back and say, oh no, Lord. Boy, oh, Jorge is a mean dude, you know. Rosita's one of the most difficult persons I've ever met in my whole life. And he keeps probing. I'm saying now is the time. Tell them about Jesus. And you step out by faith, trusting in Him. And you watch God do great and mighty things in your life. The principle doesn't change. The principle is the same. Anywhere you look, that's the way God does it. And then the question comes, do you need God's supply for ministry today? Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God provided for the church at Philippi. And Paul is writing this missionary letter back, this missionary thank you letter back to the church, and thanking them for their faithfulness to the Lord God. This is a missionary letter. Missionary prayer letter in which Paul says to the church at Philippi, thank you for being faithful. And Paul says, my God, who is able to supply? And Paul's in a situation where Paul could not help himself. And remember, Paul's a tent maker, a professional tent maker. But at this stage, Paul can't make tents. This is Roman dude with a chain on his leg. And what Paul could not provide, the Lord God provided it on several occasions through this church. Now, note carefully what Paul is saying. Paul is not saying just any God. Paul didn't say a God, nor did he say the God in whom you believe. He's not referring to the Greek gods and the Roman gods, nor the new age movement gods. He's referring to Yahweh. He's referring to Jehovah. He's referring to the God of the Jews, a personal God. He's not referring to the nothings, as Isaiah would call them. Paul is saying, my God, who created all of the universes. My God shall supply all of your needs. My God is the one who is holy and righteous, and he sees the God of Noah, who destroyed the radically depraved and saved one family by grace. My God shall provide. Paul says, my God is the God of old Abraham, the idol worshiper whom God called and aside and became the blessing to every one of us sitting here today. My God is the God who appeared to Moses at the burning bush and said, I am who I am. The God who redeemed Israel. The God that Paul says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My God is the God of Joshua as he crossed over the Jordan River, entered into the promised land. My God provided all that the people of Israel needed to conquer the promised land. My God, says Paul, my God is the God of the sweet, forgiven singer David. My God is the God of Isaiah as he lifted his eyes and saw the Lord God sitting upon the throne and realized it's Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, sitting there. And the one who speaks of the suffering servant of Yahweh who will come and take away all of our sins. My God is the God of old Jeremiah. When the Lord God told him, call unto me and I will answer thee and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Or as he spoke to Zechariah and declared, not by might nor by power, But by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. My God. My God. Who raised Jesus from the dead. And is my Lord and Savior. My God. Who met a hardened Jewish rabbi on the road to Damascus and asked him, Saul, who are you persecuting? Saul's response was, who are you, Lord? And a radical change took place in this man's life. And man, he blesses us to this day as we read his letter. My God sits upon his throne and stands behind all the promises he has made to his people. He's the God who stands behind the promise when he says to each one of us sitting here today, I can do all things through you. My God says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And he says to you and me, only I can do it. It's not you. It's me living my life in you. And as you make yourself to my availability, I'll do great and mighty things through you. My God says to you, my God says to me, I can do all things through him, Christ, who strengthens me. And then I think about the value of any promise depends upon the person who's making the promise. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My God will never let you down when you're accomplishing his will. My God will never fail when your life is centered in what he's doing. My God will never let you down if we simply make ourselves available to his availability. When we come and allow him to work in and through us. James Boyce well said, is he your God? If he's not your God, you have never come to him through faith in Jesus Christ. And the promise of God's care in the Bible are not yours. On the other hand, if you believe in him and wish to obey him, you will find him strong in your need, and you will find him entirely and consistently faithful. Our responsibility? Find out where God's at work and get involved. Find out where God wants to use you in ministry at Dixie. And God in Christ will show you where he's at work if you ask him. If you come before him and say, Lord, I want to know where you're at work. And when he has prepared your heart to the place he can invite you, he'll put you exactly where he wants you. Now, Paul not only says that, he talks about the strength, the source of our strength in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when God invites us, he provides the resources. He provides for us the spiritual strength to accomplish what he chooses to do. I know we stand back and say, I can't do that. Man, you're beyond me today, Will Pounds. No, he says it to every one of us sitting here today. I'm the one who is calling. I'm the one who is placing you in a place of ministry to other people. I'm the one who will provide. When you make yourself available to him, and you find his strength, his spiritual strength working through you. I sense the need to call a fellow pastor a few nights ago. And we talked for an hour. And I spent most of the time just listening. And toward the end of the conversation, he said, I know why you called me, Will. The Lord placed us on your heart. And he sent you to us tonight as a time when we were down, when we needed assurance that he gives through a friend who responds to his leading. Who is the Lord placing in your heart today? Is there someone that the Lord is placing in your heart? And he's saying, you are the one whom I'm choosing to minister to this person. Is there someone whom the Lord is leading? And you know. You know as well as you're sitting here today. This is a God thing. And perhaps you step back and say, who am I, Lord? How can I do this? And he keeps pressing. He keeps pressing on your heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think back to spring of 1985. Ann and I had been on loan to Wycliffe Bible Translators for 2 years in a special ministry with that organization. It came time to make a difficult decision. I had been down on my knees beside the couch praying that morning, deep sense of God's presence and God's assurance. And it was one of those situations where only God could show where he was at work and how he would provide. And that night around 9:30, we got this long-distance phone call from fellow missionaries, Herb and Faye Kennard. They were both on the phone. And when I answered, they said, we just really felt impressed of God to call you. We don't know what's happening in your life. We wanted to let you know we're praying. Boy, you talk about assurance that comes. The human assurance, the fellowship in the body of Jesus Christ that comes. And you know that you're plodding right the way that God is leading. God chooses people to minister to others. Who is the person he's placed on your heart today to minister to? It's not something you psych yourself up to. You simply make yourself available to him to in and through you where he leads you. And then you see God doing absolutely amazing things in your life. Things that you wouldn't choose. People that you probably wouldn't think about ministering to. And yet when he comes, there is that sense of conviction that only he can give to you. And then your walk with the Lord, the Holy Spirit sharpens in our lives to understand his leadership when he speaks. And we know his nudging. We know that he's the one who's nudging us to make that phone call. He's the one that swings open the door. And he says, here, this is where I'm working. This is the place I want you to serve. Christ says, I can do all things through you. A.W. Tozer said it well. A.W. Tozer said it well. Anything God has ever done, he can do now. And anything he has ever done anywhere, he can do it here. And anything God has ever done for anyone, He can do it for us. Do you need salvation? He provides a salvation. Do you need to be born again? He's the one who brings the change within the heart of an individual. He's the one who brings us to repentance of our sins and unbelief and simple trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Do you need strength for trials today? God will supply the strength you need today. If you've been recently widowed, and there's the unbelievable loneliness in your heart, God can meet and comfort your loneliness. God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Do you hear someone asking about Dixie Baptist Church? God is at work in that person. How will you respond to that person? Will you begin with John 3:16 and then walk them down the Roman road and tell them about Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for them and how they can be saved? Do you hear someone struggling in sin? Encourage them to confess their sins to Him. Help them claim the forgiveness that comes through 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Do you hear somebody hungering for fellowship with God? Christ is the bread of life. Christ is the living water. And you are the person that God has chosen to minister to that person. Oh, Augustine eloquently said, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." Do you know someone struggling with temptation? Point them to the power to overcome temptation. You've been there before. I've been there before. God can take you and use you. Do you know someone struggling with eternal life? The thought of eternal life? This is your opportunity. I'm reminded you never exhaust the infinite, inexhaustible riches of God in Jesus Christ, never. F.B. Meyer was one of those great Baptist preachers who said, "We never test the resources of God until we attempt the impossible." Are you in an impossible situation right now? Then it's time to step out by faith. Trust Him to provide. God provided for the Philippians. God provided for Paul. And He still provides. We go back to that terrible question. Where is God at work in your life today? In what area do you need to trust Him? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to these two awesome passages of Scripture, and we realize that You are at work. You are at work. You give life. You give strength. You give hope. Lord, thank You for the promise. Thank You, Lord. Show us where You are at work. We pray in Jesus' name.